welcome to this Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You feeling good?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
Good, because I've brought my little red book of mediocrity along. Because, you know, I don't want you to get too hyped up or anything. You know, it's no good you believing God's going to change this town or anything like that. And I know, you know, it does get a little bit heavy around here sometimes, you know. So I think just occasionally, for those of you that want to go nowhere, it's useful to have the little red book of mediocrity. Because there are just some people that really do want to remain highly ineffective. There's no doubt about it. But because this is a contending church. Amen. As in Jude, he says, we are contending for the faith, or we're fighting for the faith. We're standing our ground. We're a people who are calling down heaven onto the earth. We are literally praying, your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done here on the earth, here in Scarborough, here in Yorkshire, here in our nation as it is in heaven. And we dare to believe that. But for some people, that's a little tricky and they prefer to sleep. So we need, for those days, the little red book of mediocrity. You're looking very doubtful there. Hallelujah. It's useful for those people that don't know that the glory of God is rising upon us. They don't want the adventure of following Jesus Christ. They don't want to see miracles happening at their own hands because they're too busy. And for them today, by special appointment, I don't get this out very often. I mean, twice in 2-3 weeks, whatever it is. That's rare, but I'm feeling for you. Hallelujah. Yeah, I was saying it on the move the other night, must have been last Sunday in the preparation time. It's being a Christian these days, we've got a problem. You know, we have got a problem. It's the simple thing of how do we greet one another? Because you've got this constant issue as you walk up to them. Some of them are ready, is it going to be a shake hand job or is it going to be a hug? But even if it's a hug, is it the sideways, holy sanctified hug? Is it the full-on chesty hug? You know, what is it? You just don't know. And you could be wandering up to somebody to give them, and you go, you thrust your hand out, they're going for the, and you go, boom, straight in the belly, knock them over on the floor. Nigel's coming over concerned, is somebody hurt, while Peter Harvey's jumping up and down because the Spirit's at work. Worse, if it was a really fast thrust, they might be on the floor. So somebody else is over there casting a demon out of them. It's dangerous. All this enthusiasm, where's it going to get us? It's worse if you go to faith camp, because there are Italians. And with the Italians, it's not just a... You have to throw in the whole four kisses thing. You know, and it's, oh! But then, which side do you go first? Because if you get it wrong, bang! Two on the floor, Nigel doubly worried, and Peter rushing over, although he wasn't at camp this year, but we forgive you, Peter, rushes over, the Lord's moving, two on the floor now! We have a problem with all this enthusiasm. If you go to Italy, and when we took a mission trip out with teenage boys in it, you should have seen the look on their faces when men come up and kiss them. It was worth going just for that. You should have seen the look on my face when some of the older men want a full on the lips kiss. Moustache to moustache. Hallelujah. It's a good job they're not like Velcro, isn't it? Because I had one then. One of those nifty little ones, you know. Little goatee. It's gone grey now, so I shaved it off. Hallelujah. Okay. Mediocrity then. Highly ineffective. Habit number 20. This is what you need to develop if you want to remain highly ineffective, okay? Of course, if it should be that you're on fire and you actually want to be effective, that's nothing to do with email, effective, then you could just do the opposite of this habit number 20, couldn't you? Yes, Pastor Paul. Anyway, so let me just read to you. Are you sitting comfortably? If you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you know life can be very difficult. But for some reason, God does not take the rough situations from you, but sometimes seems to add problems. The ineffective Christian in these days of tumult will seek to alleviate the difficulty with books and tapes that promise a 10-step solution. The following is my 4-step solution. You probably couldn't be bothered with 10. As an example. So, if you're faced with an issue in your life, here are 4 easy steps to ineffectiveness. Step 1. Recognize that you have a problem and start looking for anyone with easy answers. The first book or person or program on the God Channel that promises a painless outcome should be trusted. Or for those with financial problems, find the cheapest seminar. Step 2. Find someone who will give specific directions to alleviate your problem. These guidelines should not be like, pray about it or consider what the Word of God has to say on the subject. Rather, they should be quite specific, like declare bankruptcy now or throw your teenager out on the street tonight. Step 3, make your decision without consulting any trusted friends who know and care for you. People like this only get in the way. They have a tendency to drag the problem out for days, wanting to go to a long-term conclusion. They'll want to walk it through with you. Remember, quick and final solutions. Step 4, trust your instincts. After all, after you've made your rash decision, lean on your own understanding. Remember, God loves those who help themselves. This one actually says, remember, God loves those who self-help themselves. Christians who seek to enter to make life easy will be the most ineffective in the long run. The rule of thumb is, seek a solution, not God. Introspective corner. Describe a time in your life when you didn't seek quick answers. How would you be different today if you'd followed a simple 10-step process? Hallelujah. You know, as we seek the Lord, as we're calling on the Lord, as we're calling down heaven, it's not we do this, we do this, we do this, we do this, and that's the answer. God is not a computer program. You can't write him out in BASIC or COBOL or Pascal or anything else, and you put this input in and you get this input out. God is totally out of the computer program. He's totally out of the box. He will never quite do what you expected. How many of you have prayed and sought the Lord for an answer and you want this answer here and it comes over there? And not only that, it looked like the last thing you could possibly want. Now, the best example of this is if you pray, Lord, give me patience. Anybody here ever prayed for patience? Big mistake. What's going to happen? Lots of situations in which you need to be patient. Why you are taught. God doesn't go bang, zap, boom, and suddenly you're patient. Oh, I'm a patient person now. It's a walk. It's a process we go through. It's called growth. You know, and this church is growing. And when you're growing, things happen and things change. And sometimes you're uncomfortable and sometimes you're really comfortable. Sometimes you're really excited and sometimes you think, I hate this place. Well, you do, if things are really happening. You know, when a seed is germinating and that little bit is poking its way out of the seed, there's effort there. Life is always an effort and energy and power changing from one thing to another. You know, if you get hold of a pupa of a butterfly, you know, the caterpillar when it's wrapped itself up, and you ever so kindly cut it off it, it will never fly. It has to have the struggle of getting out of the restriction to enable it to fly. Yeah? And sometimes when we get these restrictions and things happen to us, we think, oh, God, take this away. And God says, not on your Nelly or Nigel, depending on your sex. I'm not taking that away because that's what's going to cause you to fly. And this is a church of people that are going to fly. Who's going to fly? Amen? Hallelujah. I could see some dreadful t-shirts now. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 1, it says, it is for freedom. What's the next bit? What's it for? Freedom. What's it for?
Freedom.
What's it for?
Freedom.
Freedom, so you can get on and enjoy life. You are free to join On the Move and wear a yellow t-shirt on the street. You can even have one of the Kingdom Faith extreme yellows, which have a smiley face on the front. Although most of the time I did keep the Jesus loves you on the back hidden. But we won't go there. You can wear it. It's all right till you're walking through town and you realize you're miles away from everybody else and people keep looking. I was in a coffee shop. It was with you. And I'd taken my jacket off. And I, you know, every now and then, like, you said, what are you looking at? It was people staring, and I realized what they were staring at. They caught the back of the t-shirt. Hallelujah. I don't really care. We're a contending corporation. Congregation. We're fighting for what's good. We're fighting for the best, for Scarborough, for Bridlington, for York, for Whitby, for Hull, for Sheffield, for Bradford, whatever it is. God's given us a huge area, it's called the world, to contend for, to fight for, to make a difference. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it might be August bank holiday, but we're not having a Sunday off, okay? We're getting a ooh from the Lord. Is that all right? Say yes. And say amen. Amen. Say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Say cool.
Cool.
Say sick. Wicked. Right. See, some of you didn't dare do that bit. Hallelujah. Oh, God's good. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. That's why we can jump around in worship, but that's not what Christ set us free for, particularly. That's just an expression of our freedom. The freedom is to be who He made us to be. A lot of people are living in shoes that God never gave them. They're living a life that God never ordered them to live. Every single person out there is God's masterpiece, his craftsmanship. But it's like a lot of paintings are hanging in the cellar. And that when God comes into your life, when Jesus comes into your life, that painting that actually is glorious but has been covered in dust and filth and spiders and webs and frogs. I don't know if you've got frogs in your cellar. It's taken up out the stairs and it's cleaned up totally, restored totally, and put on display. And everybody goes, wow, I never knew that painting was that gorgeous. And actually, that's the response to anybody who's in Christ. Carla, in Christ, it's like, I never knew she was that gorgeous. You're gorgeous in God. Hallelujah. It just, you might not feel like it. You might feel like you're still down in the cellar, but stuff your feelings. Read the word of God that says you're His masterpiece. Hallelujah. What are you listening to feelings for when you've got the word of God that sets you free? Amen. Hallelujah. We've got a couple at the back that have come from Hull. They said, they were at faith camp. They said, on the way here in their car, their children were pretending to be chickens and princesses. And if you know what I'm talking about, you can have a private laugh. Hallelujah. Well, there's no chickens, there's no cluckings, there's no princesses. But there is a people who are free. Amen. I think that's what you saw. If you were at faith camp on the Sunday morning, we played a children's game with all 6,000, however many of us there were, and you had a whole 6,000 people room doing things like wibbling like an egg, wobbling, pretending to be an egg, pretending to be a chicken, pretending to be a princess, and even a king. Because they were free. They were there to enjoy themselves. The world thinks you've got to go out and down a few before you can enjoy yourselves. The only thing that stops you enjoying yourself often is your pride. You've worried about what somebody else might think. The only thing we need to be concerned about is what God thinks. If God thinks it's fine for you to enjoy yourself, enjoy! Hallelujah. And actually, God in heaven skips and jumps around a bit because He says, at last, they're getting it. I gave them life to enjoy, to have it all its fullness. Hallelujah. That's the fullness that we take out to share with people to say, actually, you can have something that's good. You know, people sometimes say, well, aren't you Christians a bit sort of arrogant or, you know, worse things? You know, because you've got this message, you keep saying that Jesus is the only way, he's the life. You know, nobody else can, you can't come to God any other way. Well, actually, Jesus said all that better, but he said that. And, but we go out there and we say, what about these other people that believe other things? I respect what they believe, but I've got something that gives them life in all its fullness. How selfish can I be if I don't want to give it away? And we're going to give it away. Amen? It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then. Oh, that's interesting, because that means, why are you standing firm if you're free? Because you can lose it. It's so easy to lose it. You take on board other ways of thinking, other ideas that people have. You read something interesting and it sneaks on in. Stand firm then, Paul writes, and don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Because if you take on board any thinking from the world that is in contradiction to what it's got in the Word, it will become a yoke. It will become a burden, and it weighs you down, and it makes God feel a million and one miles away. It makes it seem like God's in the blackness and the darkness. And that actually is a complete lie. He's still there, but you've taken on board these beliefs, these feelings, this whatever that's making God seem distant. So when these things come in, we stand firm. Amen? And we're going to stand firm. Oh. Come on, church. Come on, church. Hallelujah. One of the hardest things last Sunday evening, excuse me, was preaching to a church who mostly just sat there. Now, they were listening and they were probably enjoying it, and there were some smiles and even a bit of laughter at times, but mostly all the noise came from Brian. I mean, Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. And it was great. How many times? You know, when churches realize you actually get a better message from the Lord when you make a noise and you respond, they'll get onto it a bit more. And you do, because God hears what you're saying. He hears your agreement, says, I'm going to give them more. I'm going to give them more. And on a human level, you're preaching and you hear people receiving the word and you think, yeah, come on, God, you've got more. And God comes with more, and the word starts flowing, and the word brings freedom. And then you realize, it's for freedom I've been set free. I'm going to stand firm. I'm not going to have a yoke placed around my neck that says I can't, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. We're going into a third year, aren't we? This third year is an exciting year. This is the year of the planting of the vineyards. This is the year of everybody thinking, I can't do it. And that's why it's so exciting. This is a year when you're going to feel probably twice a week even, I can't. Yes, stand firm then. Don't let that yoke come around your shoulders, because the word says, I can. Hallelujah. I just feel like I can't. God's going to do this through me. You don't want to stay the same, do you? You don't want to just do a purple seat thing every week and nothing be happening in your life. Hallelujah. I haven't got past the first line in my notes. It's not a Dungate type thing, don't worry. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's going to be a response to what I'm saying this morning. We're going somewhere with this. This is just the encouragement bit. Encouragement to stand firm. Amen. Don't be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. The Galatians took aboard some stuff from the Jewish believers around them. And Jewish believers amongst them that said, you need to be doing this. You need to take on board items of the law. You can't eat food. Even the whole circumcision thing. And what would it do? It would take them away from the true freedom that had been preached to them if they took it on board. Would they have still been saved? I guess so. Would there have been life-changing people in the town, in that city? Absolutely not. They were taking on board a culture that was not the word of God. Whatever it was, actually, is completely irrelevant. What's relevant to us is that they were taking things on that were not here for them. Okay? And this is what God has for us this morning. He doesn't want to, well, in fact, he's going to reveal things to you even as I'm talking. I've taken that on board and it's weighing me down. And I'm free. It's for freedom that Christ has set me free. Hallelujah. We ended last week, didn't we, on a bit of a sort of a whoopee. You know, how many of you were here last week? Hallelujah. How many of you ended jumping up and down or dancing around the room? Hallelujah. A lot of you. Why didn't you start like that this week? What did you take on board in the week that stopped you? You don't need to be worked up to it. You are free. But just, I'm free. I can do that. That's not what about being free is. It's just part of it. It's not the end of the line. It's not the be all and end all. It's a bit like, you know, the people get, oh, I might go over in the spirit. I might not go over in the spirit. Forget going over, getting up, wandering around, doing whatever. Just receive from God and let him do in you what he wants to do in you. And actually, a lot of people do go over. Well, praise the Lord. It stops them wandering around, getting in the way. Hallelujah. I've had some powerful encounters with the Lord on the floor. It's wonderful. But you could have powerful encounters with the Lord in all kinds of ways. And it doesn't matter, you know, oh, I've never fallen over. Yeah, but you know the Lord. You're alive in God. If he wants to knock you over, he will. And if you're not sure whether you should go over or you shouldn't go over or whether this will be of God or whether it's be of you, don't worry. There's someone behind you. Just relax and receive from the Lord and worry. Don't worry about all the other stuff. Amen? I don't know where that came from. But I suppose it's part of the freedom, I guess. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to somewhere else. I'm going to 2 Corinthians now, chapter 10. But it's the same thing, really. For though we live in the world, where do we live? Is the world good for us? Not really, no. It tries to put its way of thinking upon us. The world that God created is good. The world that man has created is sadly misguided. We do not wage war as the world does. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Remember, we are a contending church. We are a fighting church. So what are the weapons that we use to establish this kingdom of heaven here on earth? In fact, to establish the kingdom of God in our own lives. Because we want to be a living example of Jesus Christ, don't we? We want to be those little Christs. The good news is, you are. Some of us reflect more than others, but there we go. I was thinking of something else completely then. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. This is why Paul, in the other letter, is saying, stand firm, do not allow yourself to come under a yoke of slavery. The yoke, or that bondage, if you like, is another way of talking about a stronghold. This is what happens if you subscribe, if you follow a completely worldly way of thinking. It becomes a stronghold. Okay? They have the divine, but the weapons we have divine power to demolish the strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. A lot of Christians get worried that they have bad thoughts or negative thoughts or doubtful thoughts. It's normal! Okay? That time when you thought, person. Yeah, okay, that's you did. It's gone now. Ask God forgiveness and take captive any further thoughts. That time when you were believing for God to do something and you found yourself doing something which obviously showed that you didn't believe it at all, it happened. Ask God to forgive you and take captive any further thoughts that way and get back into faith. It's not bad. It's normal to doubt, to do all the naughty stuff. Think all the naughty stuff. It just says take them captive and don't start living them out. Jesus was tempted in every way, it says. He just didn't follow up on it. It's normal. It's okay. Now, the closer you are with the Lord and you're walking with the Lord, you're not going to have so much of that stuff coming in. If you're sitting watching late night movies on the television or you're doing something stupid, your mind's going to be crammed full of all kinds of stuff and you're going to be taking captive right, left and center, or at least trying to. That's where you're going to stand firm against that kind of stuff and not let it in the first place. Yeah? And if you have let it in, well, then you've got to do a bit of warfare. It does say a stronghold, and I haven't got a quick 10-step solution to get you out of it. We can break that stronghold. We can demolish it with the word of God. We tear down every argument that speaks against it. And that power of whatever it is in your life gets broken in prayer. But then you have to walk it. And guess what? A little bit further down the road, something pops out, little demonic thing, lies in your ear to make you think it's all there again. It's called deception. But it's also called learning to walk past these things rather than, oh, it didn't work. It did work. But you've got to learn to walk. A baby does nothing, then it crawls, then it bum shuffles, then it walks. You know, it's a process. And sometimes, you know, in issues in our life, we've just got to learn to walk. And sometimes it comes as a crawl, and crawling along, and sometimes it takes time. Because life grows over time. God isn't a magician. He speaks the word and it happens. But even creation, even in Genesis, took 6 days and then he rested. Presumably, in theory, it could go like that, but he tends to take time. And he takes time in your life. He doesn't go, zap, you're all better, everything's sorted, that's it. He has more respect for you as a person. He works with your personality. He works with your mind. He puts you in a place of freedom. He sits you in heavenly places and then says, right, come on, learn to live in the place I have you. You've got complete freedom. You know, and the trouble is sometimes we don't actually talk about the fact that we don't always feel like we're living up there in heavenly places. And then Christians are on fire for God and going for God, and something happens in their life that they've got to walk through. They end up chucking it all away because nobody ever told them, actually, sometimes it is difficult. You know? But God always has an answer, even when it's difficult.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, Lazarus, he had a problem. He was dead. That's a big problem. And the Lord took a few days to come and fix it. So if he took a few days to fix dead, he may take time fixing something in your life. But what you do is you take hold of it, you thank God, you realize you've got that in the Lord. There's no doubt that he gives you, and he will do everything under his control, under his will. You know, when we pray for healing, I expect people to get well there and then. Well, there's no point expecting anything else. You know, I see that that's what happened nearly all the time in Jesus. See, you're praying, God, heal this person. The power of God coming on you now. And most of the time, that's what will happen. But sometimes people walk and you don't know all the complex reasons why they don't, really. There can be all sorts of things happening in that person's life or your life or the church's life that has affected it. But the basic answer to it is, well, you're seated in heavenly places, and in heavenly places there's no sickness, there's no illness, there's no poverty. That is what yours is. Why don't you expect to live that? Amen. Take hold of that now. Take hold of that now. Stand firm in what God has given you. Don't let anybody steal it away. Don't let, just because something has happened in your life that seems to be in contradiction to the word, don't let it steal everything. Just realize it's going to teach you to fly. When the circumstances come in that are, instead of them pushing you down, what you need to learn is in the Lord, they push you up into his presence. Amen? Jesus didn't get depressed because Lazarus was dead. He got before the Father and went with the answer. Amen? Jesus had a problem. He died too. 3 days later, he was alive again. But there wasn't, he didn't go, dead, bing, I'm back. Sometimes it's just time is involved in what God is doing. Because his timing is perfect. Amen? Hallelujah. This is nothing about what I really expected to talk about. All that stuff. But the idea is we take down these strongholds. Because these strongholds stop us living in the freedom that Christ has for us. And they stop us from helping others come into that freedom. I want to see the name of Jesus Christ glorified. I want to see heaven established here on the earth. And I'm not going to stop praying, your kingdom come, your will be done here on the earth as it is in heaven. I'm not going to stop expecting that to be working out all around us. Amen. But I do know that it's not going to be click and by Tuesday that's everything sorted. What we're going to do for the rest of our lives. It's a walk. It's a journey. It's a road. Amen. But it's a good one. Hallelujah. We have that divine power. Strongholds come in people's lives. They give you things like hopelessness. A stronghold is when you accept a situation that is not the will of God and it becomes a stronghold in your life. Like you accept that this illness is what you've got. Absolute rubbish. God doesn't intend for anybody to be sick any more than he doesn't intend for anybody to go to hell. He desires all men everywhere to be saved. But not all are being saved because they've not all turned. Hallelujah. Strongholds become mental habits in our mind. They're a way that we think. We always think along that rail. So sometimes when God breaks the power of a stronghold in your life, maybe it's, stealing stuff. Maybe you've just got this. No, lying. Let's use lying. Okay, you've just got a habit of lying. It's become a stronghold in your life. All right? And the stronghold is broken over your life. You've prayed, you've established a victory. But as you go through, when you're talking to somebody, there'll come a situation that you've been in 101 times before where previously you lied, and the habit will be dragging you back down that way because you plowed that furrow. You laid that train tracks down in your life. Now it's broken. You haven't got to follow it anymore. But is it going to bother you? Yes, it will bother you, but now you've got the victory. It's broken. And you learn to establish and walk in that victory in your life till, yes, there does come a time when you think, oh yeah, I really used to have an issue with that. And you come and you use the word of God. You take an appropriate word like, right, stand firm then. So that when you feel the need to lie, say for example, you want to get out of something that you're going to get blamed for maybe, and that's where you'd normally lie, you think, no, stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened by a yoke of slavery. You take the word of God, the divine argument that smashes that stronghold and doesn't allow it to get rebuilt again in your life. The saddest thing is seeing Christians set free from strongholds and broken in their life, and then because they stumble a couple of times, they think it's back, they get back into that kind of thinking, and the stronghold starts to get reestablished. That's so sad, because you've got to start knocking it down all over again. Ah, it can be done, but let's not bother, eh? Hallelujah. Traumatic experiences can establish a stronghold. If you've gone through, bad experiences like abuse or stuff like that, it can cause you to feel rejected. And because you feel rejected, you start to think like a rejected person and you start to think like a victim, and a stronghold becomes established. But the word of God says you're not rejected, you're totally accepted in Christ. So you take hold of the word of God that comes against how you feel, against even how you've lived your life. You speak the word of God in that. We demolish the stronghold together. Or you demolish the stronghold in prayer and you start walking and I'm accepted. I am a child of God. I am precious and honored in his sight. I'm not rejected. And often in stronghold cases, your feelings are going, this isn't true. And you're going, yes, it is, because I believe the word of God, not what you're screaming in my ear. Feelings get very upset when you go against them. But we need to learn that they're just part of us that needs to come under our control. You know? That's why you can, in worship, you can walk in here feeling, a bit down, or you had an argument with a wife in the car because you didn't park it in the right place or whatever it was on the way in. And you can feel like, oh, I don't think I can rejoice this morning. Or you can realize, actually, I am joyful because Jesus is always living in me and he's joyful. He's full of joy. So I must be full of joy. So I can rejoice anyway. And the feelings that are wandering around in me because of what's happened this morning, they're going to have to come under my control. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you having a good morning here?
Yes.
Okay. I mustn't go on too long because we're going to have some time with the Lord at the end. Now, see, the problem is everybody tends to want three things in life. Okay? They want security, they want significance, and they want acceptance. It's kind of a way God has created us, that we want these three things. And the more you don't get those three things, the more strongholds can be established in your life. Now, as a believer in Jesus, your security comes that knowing you're a child of God, that you're saved, that you have a place in heaven with him. That's your security. But people try and get security from relationships with different people, maybe even a series of relationships, trying to find someone who makes them feel secure. Very closely linked, of course, to acceptance. Okay? And people, one of the hard things to do on the move, and you have to overcome, is if you're standing there inviting people to come to the barbecue, of course you get a load of people, and it's nothing personal. I didn't smell that much. Who are saying, no thank you, or just walking straight past. And you can start to feel rejected. Nobody loves me. Scarborough hates me. And then somebody says, yes, I'll have one. And you feel good. But actually, that's all just feelings-based. I'm looking for acceptance. And actually, my acceptance is in the Lord. I'm washed by the blood of Jesus. I'm totally washed and cleansed by him. I am totally acceptable now to the Lord. My acceptance comes in Him. And significance is similar. People want significance. They want to be noticed. They want someone to say, oh, they're a great person, or they're a good person, or they're a humble person, or they're a loyal person. You want something to be said. It's significance. It's sin. Hallelujah. But our significance comes from God saying, you're my child. I died for you. You're my masterpiece. The X Factor. There's nothing particularly wrong with the program, and lots of people love it and enjoy it. But you see, there is a danger with the X Factor that as you watch it, you take on board its values. You know, and on one level, it's pretty innocuous. You know, there's not wild sex and shooting and gunning people down. And it's nothing like that. And there's people saying, oh, you did really well. So that's quite positive. But the whole show is people looking for security, significance, and acceptance in the wrong way. They want to be significant. How do you be significant? You be good looking. You be talented. You have a great voice. They're significant. And because they want acceptance from Simon Cowell. You know, if you get a positive comment from Simon, you're accepted. You know, you're feeling good. And, their security comes from getting on the show and going on the show and getting through to the finalists and then getting through to the next week. And they go, yeah, I'm through. It's a very insecure security because then they're going to be voted on again the next week. And I'm not saying that it's bad, but what we have to realize is this is why Paul, or God has put in the word, if you like, stand firm. Because you can take on board this kind of performance-based security, significance, and acceptance just through watching a fairly innocent program. There's some not innocent stuff definitely going on, but you know, it's fairly innocent, it's fairly innocuous, it's pretty much family viewing, lots of families are watching it. But if we just sit and let it wash over us, we can take on board a worldly culture that God doesn't intend for us, and it pushes us down. It's the same if you watch any television program that's of the world, or you read any book that's of the world, you're constantly getting stuff coming in that is not what it's got in the Word. And today's culture is definitely significance is getting on telly, or it's being on the screen, or it's being that a significant person is a top film star. Okay, it's a very sad society when those are the most significant people rather than the people who are doing something, making a difference, changing out the way people live and helping people out, doing something heroic. It's very sad that our significant people are celebrities, even people who are only famous for being famous on Big Brother. What a broken society that is. And then we wonder why people are struggling with issues of significance and security and acceptance in their own lives. It's because they're basing it on what they're being fed all the time. But we've got to stand firm and not be yoked again, not take on board this burden, this yoke of slavery. Yeah. Amen. From these things. If you read, you know, if you just, I enjoy reading novels now and then and books and stuff like that again. And there's nothing wrong with that, and enjoy it and have fun, but don't take on board. You see, in a book, the author expresses opinions through the characters in that book. You know, and the author could even hold some quite obnoxious views. But usually, the author won't put those obnoxious views in the mouths of obnoxious people. He will put them in the mouths of people, of characters that you're sympathetic to. So that you'll take on board that way of thinking. Stand firm. You know, when we're enjoying these things, is this the Word of God? And don't let it come through, because it just starts. And it's sneaky, really. It's sneaky of the enemy to use these things that, you know, they aren't, we're not going to ban films and books and cinema and television. We'd be like monks in a monastery on top of a mountain somewhere. And then we'd have other issues. Sin is always with us, but we stand firm against it. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. We are free. We are free. We are free. Amen. Hallelujah. Our significance, our security, our acceptance is going to come from knowing who we are in Christ. Amen? Not. Here's a thing that James writes. This is good. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. That is a good verse. You don't see it on many fridge doors. But this is the reality of a victorious life. A victorious life is not somebody that never has any trials or temptations. It doesn't exist. And the danger is sometimes people think that's what the victorious life is and get depressed and fed up and think they're failing when actually they're going right through what God is going to take them right through. I'm not saying God does nasty things in your life. He's not like that. He's not like, right, let's cause them real difficulty. But he takes the difficulties that we go through and enables us to become stronger people. Not stronger because we become stronger, but because we become more dependent on him. He doesn't want you to go through trials and temptations so that you become strong. We need to become weak so that he's strong in us. The only thing that needs to be strong is the faith that he's given us in him. You know, sometimes, and I even used it myself at the beginning, quoting that verse, I can do all things through Christ, people get into, I can do all things. No, you can do nothing. You can do tiddly squat. You can do nothing useful whatsoever as you, but through Christ in you, you can change the world.
Hallelujah.
Amen. More importantly, you can change your neighbor. Yeah? Hallelujah. I'm just about there, I think. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation that has seized you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful. And when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. That is a stronghold buster if ever I heard one. That is a stronghold demolisher if ever I heard one. That tears them down. No temptation. No temptation. Except that which is common to man. And sometimes that's important because you can think you're the worst person in the world because you thought like that or you were tempted to do that. It is common, it says. Even the worst of sin is actually common. Isn't that shocking? But it's also freeing. That whatever thought you've had, it's okay. It's common. It's not okay to keep thinking it because you're going to take hold of it. You're going to deal with it. You're going to demolish it. But there's no temptation that seized you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful. And when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Stand firm then. You have to take the way. Sometimes the way is walk away. Sometimes the way is choose to believe the word of God in the face of everything else not working. But you have to do it. You have to take the way because you're going to stand firm. Have we got a people who are going to stand firm?
Amen. Amen.
Brian's going to stand firm. Hallelujah. Take captive every thought. Take captive every thought. That's very interesting, actually, because that means not just the bad ones. That means take captive every thought, the good stuff and the bad stuff. Take them all captive. Don't let yourself to wander off in some kind of worldly thinking. Every thought you've had, keep it in line with the Word of God. Because every time we go off, it wanders a little fantasy. We're endangering our freedom of wandering down some little side street that takes us away from the purpose of God in our lives. And the purpose of God in our lives is glorious. It's wonderful. Why would we want anything else? Sometimes what we want just looks slightly nicer. But you can't see the darkness behind, and God can. And sometimes his route looks like some steep mountain path, and you're thinking, well, there's a nice valley there. I think I'll go for the valley. You know, it's full of plants and trees, and we can lie by the river and have a nice swim. I'm not going up that path. But it's that path that will teach you to skip, to jump, to go into his presence. Amen? Hallelujah. We don't have to put up with strongholds. We don't even have to put up with footholds. Before you get strongholds, you get footholds. A foothold is just the enemy constantly nagging you in one area. It just keeps coming back and back. You've not got into a stronghold. It's not dominating your life all the time, but it's definitely a foothold. They get broken by the power of God. But then you walk in it. Then you walk in it. And you don't get scared that it might come back in some way, because it will. It won't come back, but the enemy will bring it by way of deception. He always does. He's boring. And he also does it because he knows it works in a lot of people's lives, that they think, oh, God isn't real. It didn't work. It didn't take. The prayer didn't happen. Oh, I'm not free. And the enemy rubs his hands in glee and says, yes, another one squashed, another one not changing the world, another one not making a difference. Excellent. I reckon he wrote the book of How to Be Highly Ineffective. Hallelujah. What should we do, Lord? Just going to read the scripture here. I'm not going to say much on it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. The more we get hold of that, the more we'll listen to what God says rather than thinking we know best. And that's all I'm going to say on it. We think because we feel something, we know better. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The very opposite, obviously, of what it said in that book. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. He makes the paths straight. Because the other big secret to all of this is to remember what God has been emphasizing to us just recently, really. That we are seated in heavenly places. Because just as the final bit of what I'm saying before we ask the worship team to come up, and I'm going to have our offering, we're going to have a ministry time, we're going to have a freedom time, stronghold busting time. Now just before we do, the danger can be that you think, right, I've got a stronghold, I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to be strong. You're falling right into the enemy's hands. You're not supposed to be strong. He's the strong one. We're weak. It's when we're weak that He is strong. See, so many Christians get their feet tied in knots because they think they're weak. Yes, you're supposed to be. You've got it. The ones that are dangerous are the ones that think they're strong. They think they can do things for God. You can do nothing for God, but God can do everything through you. So how's a stronghold broken then if you haven't got to do anything? You've got to rest in Him. It's the rest we have in God. You've got to sit down in heavenly places. Realize that the faith that you've got to overcome this is given by God anyway. You haven't got to try and work it up like some clockwork radio. You've got the faith. God's given it to you. He's not going to give you nearly enough and then laugh. You've got the faith. You take hold of the word of God. You speak it over your life. And the word of God does the work in your life. It's not the way you speak it either. Because people fall into this trap as well. And it's a really easy trap to fill in. Stand firm, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm! As if, by the way you're saying it, it's going to work. Now, it might be that you engage yourself by doing that, but it's putting the cart before the horse. If it is the word that does it. Amen. It is important to speak the word, because as we speak the word, it's the works of God are established as the word is spoken. God spoke and the earth and the heavens were created. He didn't think it. He didn't have a divine idea and divinely it appeared. He spoke the word. Jesus is the word. That's why we speak the word of God. We speak the words that He's given us over our lives, and the stronghold is broken by the power of the word. The only faith we need is to speak it. Have you got faith to speak? Have you got faith that if you open your mouth, words will come out? That's it. Because anything else would mean you were doing it. But we put layers and layers and layers of complication on top. Amen? Let's all stand up. Let's have the worship team forward.
Hallelujah. Now we're going to have an opportunity to respond to the word this morning, because I think there are people, as I've spoken, you've identified footholds and strongholds. And what you want to know is, have I got the faith to see victory in these areas? I'm not saying you've got to come down the front of the church and confess all to everybody, unless that's what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. But I am going to invite you forward, because I want you to have an opportunity to take a step of faith, or several steps of faith physically, if you like. But when you come forward, we'll pray for you. We'll need to say to you, right, what are you standing in victory over? If there's absolutely no way you can share, and sometimes in these things it isn't the right moment to share in a public event like this. I would say you do need to see somebody at some point, because otherwise these things stay in the dark. But we can just generally speak and break and take authority. But you will need to speak over your own life, because you are a Christian. I think most of you here know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord and you want the freedom, the first step is to say yes to Jesus. The first step is to say, yes, I want to follow you. The first step is to say, yes, I'm not going my way anymore. I want to go your way. Okay? That's your first step to freedom. If you haven't made that step, that will be the first step you need to make as you come forward. All right? And we'll get we'll do that. But first, we are going to take up an offering this morning. We're going to give of our best, if you like, to the Lord. Remember when you're giving? Thanks, Josh. When you're giving, don't trust on your own understanding. Lean on his understanding. What does the word say? Sometimes when it comes to a time of offering, you can think, I'm not sure I've got enough money. I'm not sure I can afford it. Is that what the word says? Or are you going to let that become a stronghold in your life? Yeah, the word says that in giving you will receive. You cannot outgive God. And there's just, I just sensed the Holy Spirit prompted me that there's a couple of you in the room are just thinking, I'm not sure I can give at the moment. That's the enemy trying to squash you. It's not me trying to get money out of you. It's me trying to help you walk in the freedom. If you really think it's me trying to get money out of you, then don't give it into the church this week. Go and give it to somebody else, just so that you've got the freedom. All right? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Can we do Arise, King Jesus? She's ready. That's what you were going to do. Hallelujah. We'll do that for the offering. And then if we take it right down, and then I'll give a call forward for those people who are just going to take a stand against these footholds and strongholds and see them demolished in their lives this morning, whatever it is. All right? Everybody with me? Arise, King Jesus, King forevermore. Arise, the champion. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Go for it, Elka.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.